In the name of God, who creates us, who loves us unconditionally, who empowers us for ministry. Amen. Amen. It's a joy to be with you here at St. Catherine's this morning. My wife Mary and I thank you for the warm and generous hospitality that you offer to us as we visit with you. This is the feast day of the presentation of our Lord in the temple. It is thus a rare opportunity on a Sunday to focus upon that event in the early life of Jesus. And in the midst of this feast day celebration, we rejoice with six persons who are presenting themselves for confirmation or reception into our communion. In this interim period for you as a spiritual community, I know you join with me in giving grateful thanks for Father Alan and Galen for offering themselves to be a pastoral presence among you and an experienced team to lead you. I know this has not been the easiest transition for you, but with good leadership from Father Alan and the vestry, it is wonderful to hear that you are growing in membership and celebrating new baptisms that always bring joy, but also bring new challenges for the spiritual growth of all. And it was wonderful to hear that the vestry joined together so long yesterday in thinking about who they are and planning for the future. Because of such good leadership, you have been able to take your time in the search for a new rector. And this interim time has been and remains a time of healing and a time of new planning for the years ahead. I understand that a search for a new rector will begin in the spring, with the hope that by the end of this year, the decision will have been made. I want to commend you as a community for your abundant work with the Temple Terrace Elementary School. You're providing food for the many children who are nutritionally challenged is very important. It is difficult for us who are privileged people to see so many impoverished sisters and brothers among us. And your acknowledgement of them in the support of their children is carrying out the ministry of our Lord as he calls us to do. Your support of a social worker in that school and contributions to the library of the school add much to that ministry. And I thank you for your contributions to Episcopal relief and development, especially using the rebate given to you from the diocese last year and adding to that for clean water initiatives in thanksgiving for the ministry of Father Alan. And keep up the good work with your contributions to the local food pantry and the sock ministry to the VA hospital. Joining with many other churches in Project Hope places you in the thick of the ecumenical effort to rectify injustices that are prevalent in our social fabric. Thanks for all of these ministries that make St. Catherine's a flourishing Christian community. Presentation of Jesus in the temple is a part of the narrative, infancy narrative of our Lord that is recorded by the evangelist Luke. It is an account of traditional Jewish piety that was essential in the hearts and souls of Jewish practice in the days following the Lord's birth. Two such essential practices in this piety are noted. Jesus was circumcised 8 days after his birth. Like his cousin John the Baptizer, at that rite he was given his name, the name the angel Gabriel told to Mary. The physical circumcision was the sign of being a member of the covenant community of the people of God, giving people the sense of which they were all descended from Abraham. The second essential practice of Jewish piety occurred when the firstborn male child was brought to the great temple in Jerusalem to be presented as one who would serve God as a servant of that covenant law and a bearer of the prophetic tradition in sacred living. This rite of presentation occurred on the 40th day of the child's life because it was the first time when a mother of a child could first enter the temple after her period of purification following childbirth. And in this presentation rite, the parents would be required to make a sacrificial offering as also prescribed by that law. In this presentation, Mary and Joseph were not economically able to offer what was expected, half of a newborn lamb, but it was acceptable to buy two turtle doves at the entrance of the temple and offer them as a sacrifice to God. Now, this trip to Jerusalem would have been no small feat for the Holy Family, coming from the northern province of Galilee. But no matter how arduous the journey must have been, it was made with great faithfulness to the traditional Jewish piety. It established them as obvious members of the covenant community of God. When the birth of Jesus and the consummation of these practices of piety with the birth and the new form of God's salvation, namely the incarnation of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, comes with obedience to the treasured Jewish covenant law. Then something unusual takes place when the Holy Family enters the temple. A devout, upright, and aged Jew, one described as living in expectation of the consolation of Israel, comes up to the family and literally takes Jesus into his arms and pronounces that Jesus is the promised bearer of messianic peace, salvation, and light. And what is more, these qualities of messianic bearing are to be revealed through him, both unto the glory of Israel, but also to the Gentiles alike, to all people everywhere. This was the first proclamation of the manifestation of Jesus to the Gentiles, made by this old man who was led to the temple on that day of presentation by the Spirit of God. But then Simeon goes on to make a second proclamation, this time directed to Mary. The rejection of Jesus by his own people will take place. And as this ominous reality will take place, a sword will also pierce the heart of his mother. For she will become also a faithful disciple of her son. She will learn that division can indeed come into a family, as Jesus would teach that even family members would reject one another when faithfulness to him was observed above all else. So these two observations of Simeon define the future life and ministry of the baby presented in the temple. There was also a very old woman named Anna, a prophet who lived within the temple confines, who then stepped forward to spread the word about this child acknowledged by Simeon. This tradition of Jewish piety observed by the Holy Family reveals the foundation upon which Jesus lived and built his ministry. He was a man who observed the covenant law of the people of God, but yet he also was one who saw that overzealous adherence to that law often divided and separated people and created a societal system that excluded many people from the larger community. Jesus observed all these moments in his ministry through the eyes of love, through the eyes of God, whose love transcends what barriers we humans build among one another. The barriers we have and are building in our current environment produce the antithesis of the love that God pours out upon us. But Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is still present with us, still ministering among us, still looking upon us with those eyes of love. He continues to call us to be transformed by him, by his empowering spirit, to be the light for all people, the light that casts out all the darkness that is not of God. Our piety, our ministry, is to be the bearers of messianic peace, salvation, and light for all people.